God's so good.
He's so good.
He's so good. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Increasing more and more. Increasing more and more.
More and more.
More and more. And, you know, when we start, we've been ministering for many weeks about that word that we received about increase and reminding ourselves that when a word of God comes, the enemy also comes to challenge that word, to present you with circumstances that... would make you think what God said could never happen, would never happen, should never happen, and can't happen. The problem with that scenario is when you know what God has said and you've trained yourself to take what God has said and tuck it into your spirit. You know, to put it in your spirit, man, where God lives, right? And when you start and train yourselves to say what God has said, in spite of what you see and feel and hear, when you train yourself to do that, you have connected not only, you're not just saying words, you've connected to the power of God, the supply of God, which is in you. You've connected, and your words become God words.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Your words Amen. Become God words. So when we receive something from the Lord, whether it's a scripture like we just read, my God supplies all my need according Amen. To his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When we have a word from the Bible, when we have a word that's spoken out in prophecy, if we will train ourselves not to forget that word, but to take a hold of that word and tuck it into our spirit, then when we speak that word from our spirit, from that place, God's power attaches to that word. That's how it comes to pass in our lives. It's not the initial speaking of something or the initial reading of the word or writing of this word. Every scripture in here, God breathed, right? Inspired by God. And we can go to this word and we can look at these scriptures in times of need or in times of plenty. Either way, we are to be going to this word and learning how to meditate, chew on this word, and get it into our spirit so that when we say that word out loud, our spirit man is speaking that word. Does that make sense to us today? We're speaking from our heart, we like to say it that way. And God's power attaches to that word.
Amen.
So if you would this morning, turn with me to James chapter 1. Praise the Lord.
Glory.
The enemy he only has one job, really, on this earth. He's a deceiver, right? Mm-hmm. And his job is, he's deceived himself, right? He got kicked out of heaven because he had enough pride about him to think that he could be like God.
Yes.
And he really has never changed his opinion, the enemy. He still thinks that to a degree, he's little g God of this world, right?
Yes.
And he's just running with that. It's been his job since he got kicked out of heaven and sent to, banished down here to earth. It's been his job to try to thwart the plan of God, stop the plan. He can't stop the plan of God. God's plan is perfect and will be accomplished, but God needs the help of mankind, right? Yes. He needs our help to fulfill this plan, to
That's right.
carry
Amen.
Out this plan, Amen. To be the hands, so to speak, the feet of this plan, the mouthpiece of this plan. He needs us on this earth. The enemy knows that. And so the enemy's job, since he's been down here with human beings, is to try and deceive humans, to throw a smoke screen up in front of someone who's believing God or following God, to try and thwart, stop with whatever he needs to do to keep us backpedaling instead of pressing forward with the plan. And so we need to be aware of these things. We need to be to realize these things and understand when we start to catch hold of what the scripture says or what's been spoken out in prophecy. We just know that part and parcel comes the opposition of the enemy. It's just a part of it is going to be opposition of the enemy. But James tells us in chapter 1, and we're going to look at some really familiar verses to us this morning, but that's okay. James tells us what we're supposed to do when opposition comes, when tests come, when trials come. And he starts off his letter, his epistle, in verse 2 by saying, "Count it all joy, my brothers, yes. when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect." That doesn't sound like fun, right? What's steadfastness? Patience, endurance, right? Let steadfastness have its full effect. What does that mean? Some of these tests and trials might take some time.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Huh? Praise the yes. Lord. So let this steadfastness that's working in you, this your faith is producing endurance, steadfastness, let this endurance have its full effect. In other words, don't quit before you're done with the trial. Don't backpedal. Don't back up and say, "Well, I thought God told me this, but I guess he didn't." Don't renege on what the Spirit ministered to you.
Yes.
But let just stand your ground, be patient, using your faith, understanding that you are going to be made something in this test and trial. You're going to be made perfect and complete.
Yes.
That's right. Perfect and complete.
Perfect and complete. Perfect, of course, we know it doesn't mean you're going to, walk around in perfection, even Mary Poppins was practically perfect. She wasn't completely perfect, right? it just means mature, right?
Mature. That's right.
I've been on this earth for several decades now, but when I moved back to Buffalo, when we were going to Pioneer a church, we lived with my dad, who lived next to his mom, my grandma. And I used to enjoy something that I didn't when I was a kid. I enjoyed going over to my grandmother's house and just sitting at her kitchen table. She was always at her kitchen table. She had a tiny little TV on her kitchen table. She was always sitting at her kitchen table. She would drink black coffee and she would eat the craziest things, like saltines. That was like her snack. She was all about pinching pennies and, not spending too much. So she would always eat these little cheap snacks. So she'd go over there. But I used to love and enjoy going over there and sitting with her and just asking questions.
Yeah.
Why? Because she was more mature. She had been on this earth longer than I. Mm-hmm. She lived through World War II. So I just ask questions. Her husband, my grandfather, who by the time we moved back to Buffalo, he had already passed, but He was in World War II. He was fighting abroad. My grandmother was pregnant when my grandfather left to join the military. He was in basic training. He went AWOL for 3 days to drive all night back home to see his son, and then drove all the way back with a buddy, and then was shipped overseas, and then didn't see his son for 3 years, till my uncle was 3 years old. So what are we saying? We're saying maturity doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means you've been through some stuff. You've seen, you've endured some things, and you've come out on the other side stronger. You've been through some trials, some tests. You've endured some things. And you know, that was just a natural thing that our country had to endure. Many people in this country have had to endure things such as that. But James is telling us here that as believers, there will be things, there will be some trials, some things that we're going to encounter. And we need to be aware of it, and we need to know how to handle it, what to do in these situations. But notice this, when this steadfastness has its full effect and we're made perfect and mature and complete, look at that. It says we're going to be lacking in nothing.
Yes.
Lacking in nothing. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, lacking in nothing. So that is the end game, the goal here. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's go back to verse 2. How do we start this whole process when tests and trials come up in our lives, when opposition comes, when things come against us, when we receive a word and we understand that increase is for us, and it looks the next day like we've just decreased in every area we can look at? What do we do? And James tells us, and James, of course, isn't the only one that mentions this, but James starts it by saying, Count it all joy.
Yes. Count it all joy.
Now that seems to be the most ridiculous admonition that any human being has ever heard. Why would you count it joy if your body's facing symptoms? Why would you count it joy if you've taken a financial hit and things look worse than they looked, a month ago? Why would we consider it joy when the things you're putting your hand to don't look like they're prospering? Why do we consider it joy? Well, we consider it joy, number one, because the Lord told us to, right? In the Word. But we have to remember this, and this is just a reminder for us this morning, that joy is the flow of heaven.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Joy, 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 joy. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, right? Romans tells us, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is the flow of heaven.
Yes. Wow.
You're not going to find someone in heaven depressed, worried, upset, concerned.
Amen.
They in heaven, even if they exited earth and still had loved ones here that didn't know God yet, right? And how many understand that's a big possibility for many people who are in heaven? They understand the reality of heaven. They understand the reality of what happens if someone doesn't make that commitment. And yet they still have, they're standing there with Jesus. Praise God. And they have such complete trust.
Yes.
In him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That he's doing everything in his power to reveal to that person. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So There is no concern or worry. There is only joy.
Yes.
There's only joy.
There's
only joy. And so James is telling us when we encounter things in the natural, we are to meet that trial or that test, that opposition, with the flow of heaven. Meet it with the flow of heaven. Now that word count, of course, we understand that that word is, it could be considered an accounting term. Count it, consider it. Some other translations actually say that. Consider it pure joy.
Yes.
Pure joy.
Unadulterated.
Unadulterated joy. Yeah, that's the Wiest translation, isn't it? Let me pull that up in the Wiest. So I'll get to James. Praise the Lord. The Wiest says, consider it a matter for unadulterated joy, without any admixture of sorrow. Whenever you fall into the midst of variegated trials which surround you. Now, I love that word variegated. I like variegated plants. What? Variegated plants, their leaves, if they're variegated, they've got many different options, right?
Yeah.
I love how vast the Lord is in what he's provided for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't, on this earth, you don't just have one type of rose bush, right?
Right.
You have miniature, you have medium, you have large roses, you have all different colors. You've got stripes. You've got, I mean, they have so many. It's variegated. There's so many different options.
Yeah.
But James was saying you might have variegated trials.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. Meaning it's not just one area. We're not like, can we just take care of this first and then deal with everything else? No, the enemy loves to pile things up, right? He's going to add this trial with that trial and this problem with that problem, and he's going to try and add and stack and see how far you can go, like Jenga, right? How much can you stack up here, and what can you deal with without the whole thing crumbling?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So we're to consider these trials. We are to look at them, and of course, last week we ministered a little bit on Romans 4, consider not, right? Or consider, depending on which translation you look at. But here's another place where we see this word, count it or consider it. In other words, when we see this come up.
Yes.
And the fact is, we live in a natural world, so we're going to see it, right?
Yes.
We can't. Just stick our head in the sand and say, oh, I don't see it, la, 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 la. You know, you can't turn around and ignore it and pretend it's not there. You've got to look at it and say, okay, we're going to have to deal with this baby. But we're going to have to deal with that problem, that situation, that trial with the flow of heaven.
Yes.
Which is joy.
Yes.
Yeah. We have to meet that trial with joy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was doing some study, and it's always interesting to me when you look at some of these Greek words. How many understand that Greek, just like English, the one Greek word or one English word could have many different meanings, right?
Absolutely.
So you've got to determine when the interpreters, the translators are creating a translation of the Bible in whatever language, they've got to go look at the original language. They've got to say, you know, did it mean this or this?
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
The word for hand, it doesn't just mean this physical thing, right? It can mean the hands on the clock. It could be a... the cards you have in your hand is
yes.
A hand, right? That word hand can be used many different ways. And so same with the Greek, you've got to decide which one seems to work best. But one of the translations or the ways you could translate that word count in Greek, and I'm not going to pronounce that word because I can't in Greek, but it actually is to lead. And you won't, like if you look at other English translations, you're not going to find it that way. But actually in Hebrews 13, just back a chapter, and you don't have to turn there or put it on the screen or anything. But in Hebrews 13, 17, obey your leaders. That word leader is that same Greek word, count or consider. So I'm not saying that the translators all got it wrong. I'm not saying that at all. But what if we said this? Lead with joy.
Wow.
Lead out with joy.
That's good.
When you encounter, when you first meet up with variegated, many different trials and problems, lead out with joy.
Wow.
Why? Because it's the flow of heaven.
Yeah.
It's God's flow. And if we want God results, we are going to have to get God involved in this problem. And we need it first off.
Yeah.
The first thing. And so when I saw that, that word could mean to lead. And when you look at the other words in that phrase, count it all joy, all, you know what the word all means in Greek? It means all. The whole. All.
Yeah.
All.
Yeah.
Consider it all joy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that word joy in Greek, joy. It's only translated joy. There is no other word. You can't replace it with, feelings of happiness. And no. Just joy.
Right.
Like joy.
Yeah.
God's joy.
Yes.
The joy of the Lord that Amen. Is our strength.
Yes.
That joy.
Yeah.
It's only ever translated. That word is only ever translated joy.
Yeah.
You can't mix it up with anything else.
Well,
joy.
Yeah. Amen.
So we are to lead out this thing, consider this situation, and take the first thing we do, we lead out with all joy.
All joy.
Ha!
Yes.
Oh, glory. Does it feel like all joy? Absolutely not. We understand that when there's trials, when there's problems, when things are coming against us and pressing so hard, you just want to cry. Instead, you've got to train yourselves to lead out with joy.
Yes. Amen.
Lead out with joy. Praise the Lord. And you know, if you study this out and say, Pastor Amy, it doesn't mean that, fine. You don't have to receive it.
Praise the Lord.
But do we have scripture for leading out with joy?
Yes.
We actually do.
Yes.
Yes.
I immediately thought of Jehoshaphat.
Yeah. There you go.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20. And this was when King Jehoshaphat had not just one army, but several armies, I believe, coming out against him and all of his people. And they were stuck. They did not know what to do or how to take care of things. And in Second Chronicles chapter 20, it says so they all gathered together. The 20th chapter is actually Jehoshaphat's prayer to the Lord.
Wow.
And they're asking, what are we supposed to do? And if you have time sometime this week, read through chapter 20, because it is amazing. That prayer is amazing. He starts reminding the Lord of all God's done for them, right? That's a good way to start things out. When we're leading forth, right?
Yes.
In a problem. And so in verse 12, he picks up by saying, oh, our God, will you not execute judgment on them? Aren't you going to do something about this?
Yeah.
For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And so meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, who's one of the prophets there. In verse 15, he says, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Wow. Hallelujah. What is this? This is their word, right?
Yeah.
This is their answer. This is their prophecy for what they are to do. The battle's not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. It's always good to know where your enemy is. Before they had drones and cameras and spy planes, they have the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. The enemy's going to be coming against the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Now, that's not every battle. Some battles we do fight in, right?
Yes.
But for them, the Lord was telling them, you're not going to need to fight in this battle. Well, that sounds great. Let's all go home and eat some popcorn. But he continues, he says, stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, what? Go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Wait a minute. Which one is it? Am I supposed to just stand back here and say, yay, it's the Lord. The Lord's going to do this. So I don't have to fight. Or are we actually supposed to go out? Well, you got to do what God says to do.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. Right.
So they had to go out believing that they wouldn't actually have to fight. Now, that's interesting. So Jehoshaphat gives thanks and they all worship. And the next day, in verse 20, it says, they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Mm-hmm. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed.
Yes.
What's he saying? That word that was given forth yesterday? Believe it. Yeah. Take hold of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep it in your heart. Keep saying it. Yes. Don't say anything else. Why? Because he was saying, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Why? Fear is going to pull you out of the flow of God, right? Flow of heaven.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, you don't have to just remember the prophets and you'll succeed.
Yes.
And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army. Wait a minute. They went where? What? They went before
yes.
the army.
Yes.
And they were to say and sing, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. So we're talking about meeting a trial or leading out when a trial shows up, leading out with joy,
yep.
with praise.
Yeah.
And we see here that that's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. When God said, you're not going to have to fight in this battle, but you still have to go for, you have to go towards it.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to make movement with me in this. And the direction that Jehoshaphat gives was, okay, let's get all the praisers, all the musicians, make sure they're dressed nice. Praise God. I like that part. Make sure they're dressed nice. They go in front.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
They're going to lead.
That's right. Yeah.
They lead out. Yep. What?
Yes.
They're leading out in praise. They're leading out in worship. Now, it's been pointed out before that most of us musicians aren't necessarily the most physically fit in this world, you know. When I was in high school, I hung out with all the band kids and the singers. We did not do sports. There was a great divide.
Yes.
A great chasm between the gymnasium.
Yes.
And the wrestling room and the weight room and the auditorium and the music hall, right? A great divide. You had to walk all the way to the other side of the high school to get to the sports people.
Yeah.
Those people.
Yeah.
Over there. A great divide. And so Jehoshaphat was not putting the musicians, the singers in front because they were such skilled warriors.
Right.
It wasn't their physique that got them to the lead position. But because God had already spoken that this battle was his, then we've got to put his flow in front. We got to put his way in front. Praise the Lord. And so we see here that at the end of verse 21 says, they gave thanks to the Lord. They were singing, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Verse 22 says, and when they began to sing and praise. I like that. Yeah. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. So when the people of God, the Israelites, put in place, in the forefront, in the lead, praise, the Lord was able to rout the enemy.
Yes.
But the Lord did not do his part until the Israelites did their part.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
What was their part? Lead forth with praise.
Yes.
Lead out with joy. Lead out with singing. Put the musicians in front.
Yeah.
That's right.
That is the exact opposite of what any natural military person would tell you to do. That is the exact opposite of what your flesh will want to do when there's a trial or problem or an enemy staring you in the face. Yeah. It's the exact opposite of what you want to do. You want to sit down and cry. You want to say, why? Why did it happen to me? I don't love God. I'm just so tired of all this. I just don't want to do. Why don't you just do something? He can't do his part until we do our part. And our part, sorry, is to lead out in joy. Lead forth with praise. We're going to put the praise as the leader of this problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Praise is the leader. It's the start of our solution. Praise the Lord.
Hey.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So he has the praisers in front. They start singing, give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love. They don't sing it one time.
Right.
We get one phrase. I don't know if they started, doing their own chants after that. But, anyone who's seen some military, they can chant while they're doing their march or whatever like that. But these guys, they're singing with all their heart. Why? Because God said we don't have to fight in this battle. I don't know how this is going to work. Because we're still all marching toward the battle. And there's three, not just one army, there's three armies out there waiting to attack us. And so what do we have to do? We have to believe, trust in the Lord, believe the prophets when they say and give us a word. We have to believe the word if it says count it all joy when you encounter various trials. We have to believe it and we have to do what the prophet says, what the word says. Praise God.
Yes.
So they're give thanks to the Lord. His steadfast love endures forever. And they, when they began to sing and praise.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush.
Yes.
When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush.
Yes.
When they began to sing and praise,
yes,
the power of God was able to flow and yes. set an ambush.
Yes.
Yes.
Wonder if it works the same way today. Yeah, of course it does. God doesn't change. His movement doesn't change. His ability to produce results in our lives, it doesn't change.
Amen.
It's when we connect to God's flow,
yes.
He flows.
Yes.
That's right. Amen.
Yes.
We connect to heaven's flow, and heaven's flow can now connect to our problem.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
Because now we're connected to what's above, and He can flow through that connection and reach and set ambush against the
yes.
problem.
Yeah. Yes.
And so it's the exact opposite of what our flesh feels like doing.
Yes.
Yeah. The problem is we live in our flesh every day we're here on earth. We're not going to get rid of our flesh until we move to heaven.
Right.
And so that's why we preach on this every 6 months or so, because we have to hear it again.
Yes.
That's why, you know, when the next trial comes through or the next problem arises, yes, we understand in our brain, I need to meet that with joy, and we might just say, ha, ha, ha. But at some point, we really have to connect to the power and the praise, the joy of heaven, that flow of heaven. Mm-hmm. And so we can't just say, ha, 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 and then drop it and,
right.
and walk out and say, you know, go. I can't look at the problem, say, ha, 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 and I'm going to tell off on myself. I can't do that,
yeah.
right? Three ha, ha, ha's. And then go over to my husband and say, I don't know how we're going to make it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 Wow.
Say, but I met it with joy. Well, mm-mm. I met it with three ha-ha-has.
Yeah.
But I didn't stay there long enough.
Yeah.
I didn't put my praise in front of this
wow.
thing.
Yeah.
And just over and over, for the Lord is good. His mercy endures. For the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. I'm saying it the King James because that's how I know it.
Yes.
The Lord is good. His mercy.
Yes.
And you say it.
Yes.
And you repeat it. And you
yes.
keep going with your praise until you're to the point where you've just connected to the
yes.
flow of heaven. You've connected
yeah.
to the joy of God.
Yeah.
And you're saying, the Lord, oh, the Lord, he's good. His
yes.
mercy endures forever. And as you're marching towards this thing, you're seeing it in the spirit. You're seeing it obliterated. Wow, I couldn't say that word. You're seeing it destroyed before you even get there, because when you start in that flow of joy and you move, lead forth with joy, you're connecting to the spirit realm, to God's realm.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
And you will start to see in your spirit before you ever see it in the natural. The end result.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't see how God's going to do it. They didn't know how God was going to do this. God just said, you don't have to fight, which is great news. That's wonderful.
Yes.
But you still have to go towards it. You still have to march toward it. And so they had to say, for the Lord, he's good. I mean, I'm sure they started off with, oh, the Lord's good. His mercy endures forever. What are we doing?
Yes.
Why are we going this way? The Lord's good. But you say it 100 times. You'll get your head out of the way. And that's exactly
right.
What we need to do when we're talking about considering this joy, leading forth with joy. It's not just one phrase. It's not just a 10-second encounter. It's just not something we rattle off and then try to use our brain to attack the problem.
Yeah.
This actually has a lot more weight to it, a lot more importance to it than I think sometimes we realize. We've got to stay in that flow of joy until we are connected, if that makes sense, until we are experiencing in our inner man. You still might not have tremendous feelings of joy, right? It's different than when a comedian tells a funny joke and you laugh. This is not that kind of joy.
Right.
We're talking about when on the inside of you, all of a sudden, like Colossians says, we set our minds on things above.
Yes.
And what's from above dawns on our spirit and comes
yes.
alive. And we've all of a sudden gone from just saying, the Lord is good, his mercy endures, to the Lord. The Lord. The Lord is good.
He's
good. And his mercy endures forever. And he will not and cannot fail in this situation, because we already got the word of the Lord on the situation. He told us we don't have to fight in this battle. Oh, Lord, you're good. Your mercy endures forever. Oh, the Lord, you're good. Your mercy endures forever. And the further they went, the farther they got in that flow.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And God's able to move.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
God's able to get in. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to read the end of the story.
Hey.
It says in verse 23, "For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir." We've got three armies out there. Two of them decided they didn't like the one. And they forgot who they were supposed to. We were supposed to be fighting the Israelites, but I just decided I don't like your uniforms. They really bother me. You know, somebody said something stupid, and the other guy said, "Oh yeah? Well, I'll show you." Rips out his sword, and the next thing you know, two countries are fighting one country.
Wow.
Devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. Now, this is beautiful.
Yes.
When your enemies destroy one another.
Yes.
Right.
And you just stand there and go, "Oh, that's God."
Yeah.
That's God. When you have variegated trials, when you've got them all stacked up in a row.
Yes.
What if they all start fighting each other and cancel each other out? That's exactly what happened here.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
You thought you were going to take me out. You thought you were going to take me out. You thought you were going to take me out. And they wind up taking each other out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why? Because they connected to the flow of heaven.
Hallelujah.
The power is in that flow.
Yeah. Yeah.
The power of heaven is in the flow of heaven. The flow of heaven is joy.
Yes.
It's joy. Praise God. Hallelujah. And peace, of course. We understand. So when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground.
Yes.
None had escaped. Now, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Nobody ran away. They all stayed there till the very end to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
Down to the last two, where they both poked a sword in each other at the same time. That's really impressive. I mean, if that's not God, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
I mean, he wiped out the enemy. There were dead bodies lying all around. And, you know, you think the praisers would be like, "Oh, thank God." I didn't have it in my head that's how we were going to do this, but that works. That's God. That's God.
Yeah.
And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, which you have to do, in at least back then, right? You had to go take the spoil, whatever they left that was good.
Yeah.
They found among them, I love this, in great numbers, goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more.
Hello.
Wow. Yeah, amen.
They took amongst themselves, they found a great numbers of goods, clothing, and precious things. So when they're going out to battle, their wife says, "Honey, just take my gold jewelry with you."
Yes.
You know, "I know I just got this diamond ring, but I think you should take it with you when you go fight. You know, don't just take your uniform. Why don't you take some of your new suits that we just had tailored?" Yeah. They're all coming with luggage. You know, they've got carts full of stuff. Why do we say this? We have three armies, of course, and then Israel's just one army. But it says they took so much they could carry no more, and they were 3 days in taking the spoil.
Wow.
It was so much. It was so much. It was so much. It was so much. It took 3 days to gather all the precious things. We're not hauling off the dead bodies. Those aren't precious to us. I mean, it's not like we're cleaning up after them. We're just getting the jewelry. We're just getting the clothes. We're just getting the olive oil or whatever they brought with them to feed. We're just getting, who knows? Maybe they had a whole herd of cattle. They must have been feeding them somehow, right? 3 days it took to gather all that the enemy had stored, locked behind this facade of an army.
Yes.
And Israel never had to fight in the battle.
Wow.
But they did have to move towards it, and they had to move towards it with praise.
Yes. Amen.
They had to move forward in that flow of joy, that flow of heaven, to allow God to do his part and negate the enemy.
Amen.
And their biggest job, besides going out and singing, was spending 3 days gathering up stuff.
Yes.
That shows me that when the enemy, when you encounter various trials, tests, problems that the enemy brings, if you handle it right, in the end, we're going to come out with more than we had before.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Sounds
Amen.
To me like in 2024, I'm increasing more and more.
Hallelujah. Yes.
So we recognize when the enemy brings trouble and problems. I mean, we consider it, we see it, it's there.
Right.
But when it comes up, we don't fall down and cry. We don't backtrack and say, well, I thought God said, but I guess he didn't. No, we just do what James tells us.
Right. Yes.
We lead forth. We lead out with joy so that God's power can flow. I see what's going on here. The enemy's trying to stop this, but you've already said we're increasing more and more. You've already said that we're the head and not the tail. You've already said that everything we put our hand to prospers. You've already said that we are above only and not beneath. You've already said that my body's healed. You've already said, glory to God, that I have peace. You've already said that I have a full supply. You supply all my needs according to your riches in glory, your glorious riches. You've already said it. And so with joy, I'm going to praise today. I'm going to worship you today. Glory to God, because your power can obliterate that problem. Hey, glory to God. We consider it. We lead forth with joy. Ha! And we understand that anything he brings is just practice. It's just helping us. It's actually working for us, James said. It's building us endurance.
Amen.
You want to bring something else? Go ahead. I know how to take care of this. I lead forth with joy. I stay in joy. I stay in faith. And my faith is buoyed up when I have a problem in front of me. My faith is strengthened. My faith is fortified. My faith in God is fortified every time there's a test or trial that comes and I meet it correctly and I proceed correctly with joy. Glory to God.
Amen.
And the end result? We're lacking nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lacking nothing. Lacking nothing.
Lacking,
lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Paul said, I've learned the secret of doing all these things. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. In every situation, in every circumstance, said, I know I can do all things through Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Who strengthens me.
That's right. Amen.
So whether there's trials or whether it just looks like smooth sailing, it doesn't matter.
Right.
We do it all through Christ. Amen. We do it all through joy.
Amen.
We do it all with the kingdom of heaven backing us up, the kingdom of heaven's power coming into our praise and working out that situation.
Yes.
Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why don't you stand to your feet? Oh, my. Ho!
Hallelujah.
Glory! Ha! Thank you, Father. Thank you. Oh, we consider it pure joy. All joy. Full, complete joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because you always cause us to triumph. You always cause us to triumph. You always cause us to come out on top. Listen, next time you see tests and trials come up, or you might be looking at them today. We've been looking at them for the past couple weeks. It's been really, really fun. Instead of just seeing the problem,
that's right.
See the spoil.
Yes.
See the
glory.
Spoil.
Yes. Glory.
Wonder what they brought with them.
Wow.
Wonder what they brought.
Thank you,
Wonder
Lord.
What they got over there.
Yeah.
Wonder,
yes.
All right. And rejoice.
Amen.
Rejoice
yes.
that you're going to come out better than before.
Yes.
Amen.
Stronger than before.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you,
for your word. It strengthens us. It helps
thank
us.
You,
oh, glory
yes.
to God. You're
yes.
so good. You're so good. You're so good.
Yes.
We worship you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, you're dismissed
you,
with your